Cooper here with HHC, and all the credit for this goes out to Trent and Joe. A long time ago, they were shouting at the rooftops about Vuori. And if you're anything like me, you're constantly looking for good apparel that you can wear on and off the golf course. Look no further than Vuori. Trent has been rocking the Ease Performance Half Zip. It looks awesome on and off the golf course. But we are really into the Meta pant right now. They're perfect for the golf course, office, backyard get-together, you name it. They're incredibly comfortable. I think the first thing Joe texted our group after trying them on was, wow, the stretch in the material is absolutely amazing. But for our listeners, they're offering 20% off of your first purchase. Go get you some pants, a half zip, a nice golf polo, and just get yourself some of the most comfortable clothing out there. VuoriClothing.com/HHC. That's VuoriClothing.com/HHC. Don't forget, 20% off your first purchase. Well, man, I'm here with Kyle Walton. Kyle is the founder, owner of Gimme Golf Club in St. Louis, Missouri. Kyle, first off, thanks for joining.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Always down to have these conversations with anyone willing to listen, and appreciate you for having me on.
Totally. Well, you know, we were just talking a little bit, you know, about the concept, which, you know, we'll get to here in a little bit, but, you know, where did golf like enter your life?
I've been around the game for a very long time. My grandpa sort of got me my first sticks when I was like in second grade. And so, kind of got the bug early, was sort of around the game. I was kind of growing up through junior high and high school. I was sort of a golf bum. So I would just kind of work at different country clubs. Like, my family didn't come from a ton of money. Like, we were good, but we didn't come from a ton of money. So I didn't have any private memberships or anything like that. So I was sort of just, you know, accessing public courses and doing some caddying at different clubs and, working the pro shop up through high school and college and things like that. I played some high school golf, played a little bit in college, actually went into golf management in college, and then sort of, wasn't going to have everything I needed to go into golf after I graduated anyway. Felt like I could just kind of hop into business, and sort of met the person I was going to marry sooner than later, and realized I'd be working weekends and holidays. And so sort of jumped out of the golf scene in that regard. And then, love the game my whole life and want to be around it. My day job is sort of creating content in the golf world. So I'm a photographer and videographer in the golf space. That's what I do for a living, sort of. And so I've been around it my whole life and just trying to find different ways to, hashtag grow the game or, interact with people and be around golf, all the time.
Yeah. Well, man, my first introduction to a lot of that content was on your Instagram page. I think there was a video that you put out of a buddy's trip that you took up to Sand Valley. And man, that video was just like, when I watched it, I was like, I thought about every golf trip I'd ever taken, and I was just sending it to guys being like, man, that, like, isn't this so awesome, you know? And so I think like a lot of what you do from a content perspective is really cool to me in that sense, as it's very relatable.
Sure. For me, I think this is an interesting sort of, paradigm shift that I've sort of found in the golf space. Like, I was a competitive guy. Like, I wanted to always shoot my best score. I was trying to play at amateur events, and I was like, really trying to be good. And if I wasn't good, then it sort of lost its fun. And having a daughter now who's 12, who's starting to interact with the game and just sort of, getting older, I just sort of realized how much of a gift it is to just kind of be out in like this incredibly manicured park, whacking a ball all over the field and just sort of enjoying it. And sure, like, playing good golf is amazing and it's fun, but also, there's also, more important things. And I think it's been, you know, those hearing you say what you said about the content is sort of where I've landed with golf as a whole. Like, it's just so good to be out and with friends and, you know, narratives and the stories that I've been able to find that are not centered around somebody playing good golf is really the sort of content and the stories that I'm searching out. I'm searching out for all the other stuff that has nothing to do with, you know, a score on a golf course.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of going through that shift myself as well a little bit where, you know, I grew up playing the game, you know, and it feels like when you're playing in tournaments, and like that's all you're geared to do is shoot a lower score, right? And that's every single time you go out to practice or whatever, it's the goal is to shoot a lower number. And now same thing for me, like I've got a couple young kids, the oldest of which is getting into the game. And yeah, I so look forward to going out and playing just to hang out with my friends and have that community and that good conversation.
Yeah, it's super important. I don't think it's quite, I mean, I think we're getting there. People are starting to kind of just understand that, you know, that's really all, you know, we're trying to accomplish at this point anyway. But yeah, I just think that there's room for just both styles. A lot of times you see, you know, these guys that'll only be like this or only be like that, or, you know, they only want to go out and hang out, or they never, you know, I'm here for both versions, you know, like, I just think that there's more opportunity for a fun side of the game and for the serious side of the game. Like, there's, you know, we just need to sort of, I don't know, look at it a little differently than maybe it's been looked at in the past.
Certainly. So you mentioned, you know, day job, even prior to Gimme Golf Club, was, you know, creating content in the golf world. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about how you got to that.
Yeah. So it's fairly fresh. Honestly, it's probably really only transpired in the last like 20 months or so, 24 months. Mm-hmm. Like, I was sort of creating content in general with some different brands and some different businesses and sort of freelancing and, you know, just trying to create content. I also did a 30 video and 30 day project on like my YouTube channel that was just sort of like a, I don't know, an exercise in creativity. Hey, how can I do more? How can I, you know, push myself a little bit? I was sort of in a creative rut. And so I gave that a go and it went really well. I, you know, had people reaching out that I'd never talked to before. I've had people sending me emails saying, like, hey, I feel like I know you, like, I really enjoy watching your content. And it was just kind of interesting to me. And so sort of played with the idea of like, how could I do more? I have a family, I have a job, I love to play golf. And I also have this sort of vloggy content creation idea. What can I do? And someone sent me an email and said, hey, like, have you ever seen this video? And it was a video done by Eric Anders Lang, and it's called Dear Golf. And I was like, yeah, that they had said that, hey, this looks like something that you would make. And I was like, it's very well done. It's narrative driven. It's, you know, got a good story. It's, you know, all that stuff. I was like, this is exactly the kind of content that I would want to make. And sort of shifted my attention to like, hey, maybe I should make golf content. I don't know how I didn't think about it sooner. But then, yeah, I was heading to Nashville. I have family in Nashville and I was down there. And so I called up, the GM over at Sweetens Cove and was like, hey, I kind of want to come over there and make a video. You guys cool with that? And I was like, absolutely. We'd love for you to come. So went over there, made a video, posted it online. A bunch of people gave me some positive feedback. A couple brands reached out, started sending me stuff. And all of a sudden I just sort of pivoted everything in my creative space towards golf. And, you know, 6 months later, I was editing for Eric Anders Lang, which was kind of a wild, you know, circle there of events. And then, you know, got an opportunity to shoot at the BMW Championship. And then that turned into an opportunity with the USGA and my buddy Matt Cardis, who took the US Open trophy on a tour across the country. And then I've, you know, recently been doing some work with golf.com as well. So it's kind of been a massive sort of wild ride, honestly.
Yeah.
in sort of the middle of also, you know, growing out this business. So it's just been a crazy, crazy few months for sure.
No kidding. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff to pack into 20 months there. I think first off, we share a love for Sweetens Cove. Obviously, you know, we're an hour and a half from there, and know Matt Adamski well, and
yeah,
that place is I think really a lot of what you and I talk about, where, you know, we talk about golf being more approachable, you know, and I think Sweetens does such a nice job of that. And what a great place to kick off, you know, some really nice golf content and just a picturesque atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, I went down the Instagram wormhole, right? Once I was like, hey, I'm going to start making golf content, you know, like, so then I started going, and then you just find this whole underbelly, like this whole golf space that exists that I didn't even know. And I was an avid golfer, and just, you just go down the wormhole and you find it all. And I saw everyone talking about Sweetens, and I was like, well, I'm going to be close. Like, I should do this. And they were super welcoming. And you're right, you can't really explain it. I try to explain it. I'm like, you know, 9 holes, like two flags. They let you kind of do whatever you want, as long as you sort of respect everyone else out there. They have a shed for a pro shop, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you just gotta go.
Yeah.
You just gotta go.
That's exactly right. Well, this is kind of a side note here, but you said you worked the BMW Championship, or, you know, you were taking some footage there and whatnot. I mean, how is it, or what's it like to follow some of the greatest golfers in the world, you know, basically a few steps away?
Amazing. I probably, you know, I make the joke all the time that, like, I'm not used to it. Like, it hasn't happened that much. I worked at the BMW, and then I went down to the U.S. Women's Open in December as well. And like, yeah, you know, and no fans either. So the atmosphere's super intimate. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. Like, you know, again, I said everything happened so fast. Like, you know, there were moments where I was, you know, following Dustin Johnson, you know, a week after him shooting 30 under and being far and away the best player in the world. And it's just like me and like two camera guys. And I'm just like, this isn't real. It's crazy. And it's amazing. The guys are really good at their jobs, and, you know, they're pros, and it's a surreal experience to be, you know, doing something like this when, you know, you literally geek out and watch these guys play golf every week.
Yeah. So, I'll kind of recap here for us. You know, you grew up around the game. You love the game. The love of the game has kind of shifted, you know, into, like, you know, different specifics that you really enjoy about it. Tell us about how you got to the point of Gimme Golf Club.
Yeah, so I think golf sort of ecosystems sort of they're sort of different in different parts of the country. And you know, you got warm climates, cold climates, you got, you know, all this stuff. And in general, just the economics of it seem to be vary in a lot of different places. And for me here in the Midwest, I feel like there was just sort of a race to the bottom with pricing. And a lot of the marketing initiatives that at least I saw were always sort of giving a really good deal to the consumer, but it never seemed to really pan out in the way that the golf course would expect. But the golf course was sort of, you know, at the mercy of these entities or these sort of initiatives. And to me, it just felt like, man, we could always get a really good deal at golf, but if the golf courses are not going to get what they need to get, then they're just going to become a housing development, and we're going to have cheap golf but no golf courses to play. And so for me, I just tried to hack on, like, how can I bring value to the golf course? Like, how can I bring a loyalty back to the golf course? How can I have a community of people that I feel like I'm pretty good at building? How can I bring them back to where they play the same network of courses all the time, or they know the pro by name, and or they're willing to open up their pocketbooks when they go in there and buy the golf balls and the tees or the beer and the food, because, you know, maybe there's a subscription method involved where they don't have to pay every time they go in, or, you know, basically just tried to hack on that. That idea, you know, knowing that I felt like I could do the community part of it pretty well. It was really just trying to make sense of the economics and how I could, you know, bring value to golf courses. That was really the origin of the idea. Was I just wanted to try to flip this sort of idea on its head and see how I could help courses instead of, like, pointing my business model towards the consumer.
Yeah, and so, kind of talk to us about, like, the different, you know, levels of, you know, I guess opportunities within the club, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, we basically, so we just this week opened up an indoor space, which is where things get really interesting. So we have a 5,300 square foot building that's sort of, you know, landlocked by roads. It's called the clubhouse, and our members have access to it, but it's not near a golf course. So we have basically an urban, like city-based clubhouse that our members can come to. It's got two TrackMan simulators, bunch of TVs, 250 square foot putting green, you know, a little lounge area, bar type snack shack stuff. And then, you know, our members have access to five different golf courses that sort of span all over the, you know, the greater, you know, Metro St. Louis area, from Illinois all the way to, you know, down south. And our members can play those sort of unlimited with very few restrictions, all for, you know, $75 a month. So it's definitely an idea that, you know, needs to scale. We want to have, you know, a large amount of members, but I didn't really want to get into the game of sort of making this thing expensive, because then all of a sudden we eliminate a large group of golfers that I don't want to eliminate. And, you know, that either can't afford it or don't want to pay that much, which is fine too. Like, you know, I want the casual golfer just as much as I want the diehard. So, yeah, so that's sort of where we're at. We have a clubhouse only membership where, you know, maybe somebody who has a membership somewhere else or plays more golf or has a country club membership may want to come just to have access to the community and enjoy the simulators through the winter and all that stuff. And then we have our Gimme Golf Club membership, which gets access to the courses, and then they can come to the simulator and they can come to the clubhouse and have access. And then we charge for simulator rental and stuff like that. And then we have what we would consider our max membership, which is sort of all of everything.
Yeah. So, you know, did the soft opening last week? Is that right?
Yes. Just last weekend. Yeah. We sort of had guys come through on hour increments. It went really well. We had people here from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. just sort of one tee time at a time, kind of coming through with their buddies and experiencing the space. And for the most part, anybody that came through that wasn't a member left a member, you know. So yeah. That was good. I think once they can see and touch the space and understand what we're trying to accomplish, I think it's pretty easy to want to be a part of. But I'm obviously biased.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the images on Instagram and get excited about it, but I mean, paint the picture for us for, you know, people that were coming into the space, you know, for the first time ever. What were the reactions you were getting?
I mean, really good. I mean, it's kind of funny. So we have to get outside stuff approved by Landmarks because we're kind of in a bit of a historic, like, river district here down in St. Charles, Missouri. So you can't just do whatever you want to the buildings. And so we have this really slick wooden sign that's going to like hang over the top with like a 100 green awning. Like it's just like perfectly bad, but amazing. You know, like our goal is to sort of make it just sort of, yeah, just old, you know, like just good, like old and good. And it feels very speakeasy-ish. Like people don't really know what it is. We don't even really put the name anywhere. Like even the outdoor sign is just a logo. There's no name stating what it is. So I would say that's like the biggest surprise. Like it's sort of an old building. Parking's kind of around back. It's a little bit of an awkward, you know, entry. And then it's right on the corner of this busy intersection. And guys are carrying their sticks like up the sidewalk. And it's hilarious. And cars are just looking at us like, what in the world? And then, yeah, they kind of come in and it's just totally, you know, just renovated, industrial, you know, sort of modern space where the simulators are. And then we have this sort of, you know, my goal with the lounge was to basically make it feel like every, you know, old, dingy pro shop clubhouse you've ever been in. And just sort of, you know, find the sort of ugliest, you know, we got wood paneling and 100 green walls, and we got, you know, 150 frames on the wall. We're going to put, you know, bad high school photos of all of our members in so that we can sort of like, you know, just reach into this nostalgia and sort of, you know, I want like yellow film on our lights so that it just looks gross in there. I just, you know, the goal is just to kind of take you back a little bit. You know, we've all been in one of those shops.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wanted that space to be uniquely that, while the rest of the space was sort of more modern and more industrial and sort of had like a, you know, a cooler vibe. So yeah, definitely people were definitely taken back. They people that had no idea what to expect, you know, you kind of turn the corner and it kind of punches you in the face. There's a big screen and TVs and simulator bays, and you're just like, oh, like I had no idea that this is what this was.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously you're just kind of getting started with the opening last week, but what are, you know, what's the vision? Like what is, you know, the goals that you have for this year?
I mean, the goal is to really just grow membership. Like last year I started this business with no indoor facility. It was just outdoor, and our membership, you know, in subscription based talk, it churned up to, you know, over 100 members. And then when it got cold, it sort of churned its way back down and people opted out as expected. And so, that was a weakness. And, you know, we feel like we've sort of cured that weakness with this indoor space. And so we think we should be able to maintain membership, which only adds value to our golf courses, because we will be, you know, capable of paying them, a larger sum of money through the winter months, which really helps out these golf courses. You know, so my goal is to grow membership and to actually turn this into a feasible business. You know, last year with COVID and my career, everything sort of pivoted a bit, and it was necessary for me to sort of put this thing aside and let's just call year one a beta. And yeah, we're still providing good value for our members, but I can't actively be involved as a one-man person while I'm trying to, you know, make this career happen over on the other side. And I would say now that that's happened and I feel like I'm in a good place and I have a handle on a few of the events and a few of the things that I'm going to do this year, I have, you know, a couple business partners that are on board now and helping me with the day-to-day. Like our goal is to solidify the business. Like our goal is to make this thing profitable, to make it work, to prove the model, to add more golf courses, to grow the community and to do, you know, all the things that we sort of set out to do from day one.
Certainly. Well, I'm on your website right now, and I think under the About Us section, you know, it says, what is the Gimme Golf Club? And it says, it's a place for people who love the game of golf and love the camaraderie that comes along with it. It's a club for everyone and every skill level. It's a club of inclusion, everyone only. So it sounds like to me, you know, you all have hit the nail on the head with that part of it, you know, and again, it's just, you know, about, like you said, getting more members in the door and, you know, adding to that. But I love the concept. And, I mean, you all ever looking at putting one in Nashville, we'd be all about it.
You're not the first person that's asked. First of all, you're not the first person that's asked about that. And you're also not the first person from Nashville that's asked. So that might have more steam than just the joke that, you know, that might be real. But I mean, ultimately, like, yeah, do I want to grow it? Absolutely. Would I want to grow it to multiple locations? Absolutely. Do I need this thing to work here? And do we need to prove the business model and make sure that everything's sustainable? Absolutely. So
sure.
We're doing the hard work now and tracking the numbers and making the mistakes and, you know, failing forward and working with our business partners in the best way we can. And yeah, I mean, I would love to have a world where I get to talk about, you know, growing a network and then, you know, whatever. Somebody goes on vacation and they can access that network because they're, you know, they're a member in St. Louis, but they're going to Nashville for the weekend. And
yeah,
how do they pay, you know, 75 extra bucks and they get access to Nashville for the weekend when they're there for a buddy's trip or something? Like, there's a million different options and ideas that can come from it, but we just need the core business to succeed first.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, last question for you. What do you have planned from a content standpoint this year? Because I need more videos like the Sand Valley one.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sand Valley is they're friends, man. They're family at this point. So I'll always reach out to them and see if there's another idea that I can do. Right now I've just sort of not taken on anything in regards to that, just so that I can focus here. But I'm actually trying to figure out how I can, I don't know, like I'm obviously a big fan of No Laying Up guys. I've chatted with a few of those guys and I think they make great content, but I also think that I can make good content, and I'm trying to figure out sort of, you know, if there's a world and where this clubhouse sort of becomes a hub, for content creation via, you know, whether that be podcasts or videos that I can, you know, I can take a trip and, you know, can we get some sponsorship dollars behind it? Or I don't know. I'm sort of circling around how I could potentially just make my own content as opposed to making content for other people and make that profitable. But, you know, I'm hoping that I'll be at both of the U.S. Opens this year, hopefully making content with the USGA. Hmm. And then there's a couple other sort of client type stuff that I'm circling around right now. But I appreciate, you know, that was an idea that I sort of pitched. You know, I had a chat with Brandon up at Sand Valley and was like, hey, man, like, I don't necessarily make like commercial type stuff, but, you know, I'd love to kind of pitch, you know, this idea how we could do something. And he was super open and he gave some feedback and you know, I went up there with literally my buddies and put them on camera and you know, it was the only way it was going to work. You know, I was like, I need to bring my people. Like, I need my friends. Yeah. If not, it's just, they're going to look stuffy and they're not going to be comfortable. And so, you know, I was able to bring my buddies with me and was just like, hey guys, do what you always do and let me capture it. And that's what we did. And you know, I appreciate you, one, sending it around, that matters. And two, like connecting with that idea, that's what it was. It was like, I know that this should take every guy, you know, that's been on a buddy's trip back to that trip. And that was exactly the goal of that video. Yeah, and you should do one of those at Sand Valley. That's the other part of it.
Yeah. Well, that was the two-part text. Was one, this video is amazing. Two, when are we going to Sand Valley?
I hope somebody from Sand Valley is listening right now. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think by taking, you know, your friends, your buddies, it's more organic, right? I mean, sure. Yeah, I think and you talked about at the beginning, you know, I love, you know, content that tells a story. And I think the story of a lot of your content is memories and community with friends. And that happens to center around golf for, you know, maybe guys like you and I, and maybe it's something else for others, right? But I think, you know, what I do love about what you all are doing is that there are tons of memories to be had, and golf happens to be the common denominator there.
Yeah, no, there's just room for it, man. There's room for it. Like, I say it a lot, but like, you know, golf just needs people to be who they are. We don't need them. They don't need to fit into anything. I think if everyone would just feel comfortable to be what they want to be, then we could all, you know, we could all figure it out. And there's definitely a time and a place to go out there and try and shoot the course record or shoot your best score. And there's definitely time to take your shoes off, grab a beer and goof off. And I think that there's, if golf's going to, you know, succeed going forward, they're just, needs to be the opportunities for both sides of that game to you know, find a way.
Well said. Well, I think that's a good way to cap us off. Yeah, if you're in the St. Louis area, be sure to check out Gimme Golf Club and the clubhouse at Kyle C. Walton on Instagram and then at Gimme Golf Club. So, Kyle, yeah, man, just so appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day. This has been a ton of fun.
Yeah, man, thank you so much. It was a blast. I appreciate it.
Cool.